Good morning. Yeah, we're in John's Gospel, chapter 19, starting at verse 1, and that's on page 1087 of the Church Bibles, 1087, John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
'Here is the man.'
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted,
'Crucify! Crucify!'
But Pilate answered,
'You take him and crucify him, but as for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.'
The Jewish leaders insisted,
"And according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside to the palace.
"Where do you come from?"
he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer.
"Do you refuse to speak to me?"
Pilate said. Jesus answered,
"You would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting,
"If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, and he sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon.
"Here is your king,"
Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted,
"Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!
Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate,
"Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews."
And Pilate answered,
"What I
This is the word of the Lord.
Take a seat. Morning, everyone. My name's Gareth. I'm one of the other ministers here at Christchurch. It's great to be with you this morning. The Microsoft Translator code, if you're using the app, it might come up on the screen, but if not, it's DGYKQ. 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 Well, this morning we're going to consider these verses we've had read in John 19, and we're going to take a reflective walk through. There's lots of details in there. I've not got one headline for you this morning. What I instead encourage you is to think as you listen, What's one thing that's striking me today? Maybe it's something you've never noticed before, something that hasn't pressed on your heart. Maybe it's something you knew but have forgotten. We're going to consider the passage through the light of four people, or four groups of people. And we're going to see the soldiers, we're going to see Pilate, the chief priests, and Jesus himself. Without a big headline, we have got a question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? We had in verse 5, Jesus comes out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate says to them, "Here is the man. Here is the man." And so this morning, I'd like you to imagine that Pilate is bringing him before you. Here is the man. Who is Jesus? Who do you say he is? Who is he to you? And not because we choose who Jesus is, but rather, have you understood who Christ is? Okay, thank you. We'll go through these things in order, starting with the soldiers. That's in verses 1 to 3. That's going to come up on the screen as well. Did you see this as it was read? Could you hear it? Could you feel it? Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. Flogging was a brutal, brutal punishment. We don't know the details. John doesn't record them for us. But imagine a whip with several leather strands, with bits of stone or metal, nails, twisted in, tied in. And the prisoner stretched over, helpless, whipped again and again. Almost straight away, your back would be opened up, split apart, bleeding. The blow of each whip, agony. Pilate had him flogged, the verses say. Again and again. But that isn't all, because the soldiers go further. They take a thorn plant and twist it into a crown. Again, we're not told what kind of plant it is, but we can imagine thorns, long, sharp, twisted together into like a wreath. And if someone makes a crown of thorns, do they place it gently on the head? No, they ram it on. Can you imagine the lancing pain of thorns going into Jesus' temple? Blood runs down his face, in his eyes, to add to the blood on his back. And then they take a purple robe, the color of royalty, and they put it on him. What do they say? They go up to him again and again. Do you see that detail? They keep coming up to him. "Hail, the King of the Jews." And then, "Hail, King of the Jews." And the slaps ring out. "Hail, King of the Jews." Do you see the lengths they go to mock Jesus? What has Jesus done to deserve this? Well, the short answer is nothing. He was no criminal. He never did anything wrong. What does Pilate say? "I find no basis for a charge against him. He has done nothing wrong." And yet Pilate has this done to Jesus. Why? Why would Pilate have this done to Jesus when he knows Jesus has done nothing wrong? Because Jesus is trying to wriggle out of a tricky situation that he is in. He can see Jesus isn't a bad guy, and yet the Jewish leaders and the crowds are demanding for blood, baying for his blood. And he's trying to find a way out. He thinks, if I have Jesus beaten, then that'll satisfy their bloodlust. And he brings them out and says, "Look, here is the man." Can you imagine the crowd seeing this guy, Jesus, now covered in blood, beaten, crown of thorns, purple robe? Well, the soldiers had mocked Jesus and they had hurt him terribly. I don't know about every situation in the room. I imagine some of us have been in great pain in our lives. But I hope very few of us have known a pain that has been inflicted for no reason other than to cause pain. That's what happened on Good Friday to Jesus. Pain inflicted for the sake of pain. To mock, to humiliate. It is no small thing. The soldiers did that to Jesus. Let us now consider Pilate. I realise all the bullets say A. The second thing, Pilate. So the Jewish leaders insist, you've got to kill Jesus because we have a law saying if anyone claims to be God, they must die. Have a look at verse 8. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace to question Jesus. Jesus is inside the palace. He takes him with him and starts to question him. Do you notice that? Fear. Do you notice Pilate's fear? It's striking, isn't it? Verse 8, when he heard this, he was even more afraid, which meant that he was already what? He was already afraid. Before this happened, he was afraid. He was feeling the fear of not being in control. He was the governor, and yet he couldn't make things happen as he wanted. He didn't want to deal with the priests, and he didn't want to deal with Jesus. He was somehow afraid of Jesus. As we listen to this bit again, ask yourself, who has the power in this situation? Who is the powerful one? As Pilate says to Jesus, where do you come from? Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power, either to free you or to crucify you? Who has power, really? Who is the desperate one? It is Pilate himself. He wants to find a way out. He wants Jesus to give him an answer that he can say to the priests. Jesus has said, no, there's all a misunderstanding. Let's leave it here. He's afraid of Jesus. And the question is very strange. Where do you come from? He knows the answer, as we've heard as the sign, Jesus of Nazareth. He knows where Jesus is from. And yet, he asks that question. Somehow, Pilate sees a man who is blooded and bruised, scorned and mocked, fainting maybe from loss of blood. And yet Pilate feels afraid. He is the one who commands the soldiers. He is the one who commands the army. He is the one with the might of Rome behind him. And yet he is afraid of this man because he knows there is more to this man than meets the eye. Pilate tries to assert himself. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I have the power? But he does not. We'll come back to Jesus' response in a few minutes. But Pilate is not the powerful one. He is desperate, trying to wriggle out of the situation. We move on to consider the Jewish leaders, the chief priests, in verse 14 and 15. Pilate says to them, here is your king. Here is your king. But they shouted, take him away, take him away, crucify him. Who were the Jews? Well, they were God's chosen people. God chose one group of people to be his precious possession. He brought them out of Egypt. He cared for them. He spoke to them. He loved them. He brought them up tenderly. The Jews were his chosen people, and he sent his son to be their king. God's chosen people with God's chosen king. What is their response? Take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. Pilate can't quite believe it, can he? Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. In that moment, do you hear how far they fell? They are given God's king, the king who loves them. And they say, we have no king but Caesar. Caesar? They're in occupied territory. Caesar has invaded them and subjugated them. Caesar hates them, and they hate him. Who were the most hated people in the New Testament? Tax collectors. Who did the tax collectors collect tax for? Caesar. The Jewish leaders hated these people. They hated Caesar. They hated Rome. And Rome, in just a few short decades, would destroy the temple and decimate the Jewish religion and change it forever, a blow which the Jewish religion has never recovered from. And what do they say? He's our king. Caesar is our king. Jesus? We'd even rather have Caesar, who we hate. How far they fall in that moment. Well, the soldiers, they mock and injure and wound Jesus. Pilate tries to negotiate and wriggle out. The chief priests straight up reject. Now let's think about Jesus himself. Because here is the man. Here is the man. What was it like for Jesus? What was it like to experience that? That treatment from the soldiers, the pain, the humiliation. What was it like to stand before Pilate? A scheming, self-serving, weak, yet proud, arrogant leader, and to keep his mouth closed. Jesus submitted even to this pathetic authority. And he allowed himself to be rejected by the chief priests. Because Jesus could have stopped it at any point. Even humanly speaking, he could have stood up for himself, couldn't he, and said, that's not true. Demanded his rights, but he did not. Worst of all, he faced all that hatred and rejection from those he had come to save. Because it's one thing getting this sort of treatment from people you hate and who hate you. You kind of understand that, right? But imagine getting that treatment from people you have come to help. You have come to heal. Maybe you know that people in the emergency services, particularly from those who respond with ambulances, can get attacked by people they come to help. Now, that's shocking, but also in moments of trauma, we're not in control of ourselves. We might understand that sometimes. But this is not that situation. This is measured. This is deliberate. Someone has come to help a king who loves them, and they have chosen to reject him. They have cried out intentionally, crucify him. All done to Jesus. Here is the man, friends, this morning. Here is the man who does this willingly, who took on all this. Just highlight verse 11. After Pilate says, don't you realize I have power to either free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. You're not in control here, Pilate. Not any more than you've been allowed to be in control. You're on a short leash, a leash from heaven. Why did this happen to Jesus? Why did it happen to Jesus? Because God chose for it to. Father, Son, and Spirit made this plan that the Son would come, sent from the Father in the power of the Spirit. But why? For our sake and for his glory. And so as we come to a close, or head towards pulling this together, I want to ask you, what about you? We've heard the different reactions and the treatment from those people in the story, but what about you? One of the ironies of this passage is that Pilate tells a lot of truth. Verse 19 and 20. He has this notice prepared and he fastens it to the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he's been there using Microsoft Translate or something similar because he puts it in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. He proclaims the truth about Jesus so that everyone can read it. Aramaic for the Jews, Latin for the Romans, Greek for everybody else. Jesus hung on a cross with the truth stapled above his head. Pilate proclaimed the gospel so that everybody can understand. You can understand this morning. You can understand the claim of the gospel that Jesus is the king. This is a man who is God's king. So what about you? What are the options? How are you going to respond this morning and beyond? Because maybe you'll be like the soldiers. And many people treat Jesus like them. They mock Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's so irrelevant, isn't he? Could have come a time when there was videos. That would have helped, wouldn't it? What a backwards religion. We're beyond that now. Or maybe it's the patronizing mockery of, yeah, he was good, isn't he? Good teacher. Yeah, nice. Some good stuff, Jesus. Not all of it, but some of it. And all the effort goes into mockery. In fact, so loud. I wonder if the soldiers ever questioned as they slapped him. Who is this man? We might mock. Or maybe, more likely, we might negotiate, like Pilate. We try and distance ourselves from Jesus. The question is so challenging, isn't it? Who is Jesus? Can I somehow get into a different room than that question? And then I can live my life. Jesus can be Jesus. I'll be me. But we can't do that. We are like Pilate. We are involved. We have been confronted by Jesus. We have heard this is the King of the Jews. And this sacrifice demands a response. It is not one we can shrug our shoulders to or try and say, oh, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? Who do you say he is? You are involved, whether you like it or not. The only place you can really go with that is to be like the chief priests and pledge allegiance somewhere else. Worship someone else or something else. Maybe it's a person or an idea or a lifestyle. And please see here the extreme choice, just like the one facing Pilate. Either Jesus or Caesar. There's no middle ground. Who is your king? How would you finish that? I have no king, but who is Jesus to you? Well, what about for the many of us who are believers in Jesus? He is our Lord and Savior. We believe that. We confess him. We have come today to celebrate. Well, as Phil so helpfully helped us think in our prayers, behold our God. We saw in our Isaiah series that God is great and God is good, powerful and loving. And Jesus, that's our God. He is our Lord who has come. Pilate only had power as much as Jesus allowed it. And Jesus is good. He went through this for our sake. His suffering, his rejection, his death, a gift to see him and to receive the many blessings. Because at Good Friday, we'll celebrate communion soon, our sins were taken away. Our sins were taken away. Let us remember that sin is not small, that forgiveness is not cheap, that grace is not trivial. This is what it took. This is why we hate sin. And this is why we can be so thankful. So thankful that Jesus loved us this much, even to death on a cross. Jesus loves you. He went through all this for our sake, to bring us to the Father. And so we can know that we are in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, we live. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on Jesus' death in our place, we give you praise, we give you thanks. And I ask for everyone here that they might consider who this man is, and that you would give them the truth and lead them into joy and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.